The text is the gospel reading, although you'll notice the bulletin only goes to through 8a. They don't include 8b, which should be there. And so I will include 8b. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Here ends the text. Shameless was a 1989 hit by Garth Brooks about a man so over the top in love that he has no pride. He is not ashamed to do anything she wants him to, anything at all. You might think this is a strange sermon title, but this is a desperate text. It begins with the Holy Spirit telling us that this parable is to show that we should always pray and never give up. And the text ends with Jesus asking, when he returns, will he find such non-stop praying faith on earth? He will, if shamelessness survives. The first person in the text we meet that is shameless is the unjust judge. The text says he neither feared God nor cared about men. The word translated by that insert as cared can mean that. But in the Greek dictionary, that is the 2B definition of the term. The 1A definition is make someone ashamed. The 2A definition is be put to shame. The chairman of the biblical department at the Near Eastern School of Theology in Beirut said that English translations went with cared about because of the difference between Eastern and Western thought. In America, when Johnny does wrong, we say, "That is wrong." In the Middle East, they say, "That is shameful." Since the old Syriac Bible translation in the 5th century, all the Eastern translations have that the unjust judge is not ashamed before people. The unjust judge is shameless. He could not be shamed. A poor, defenseless widow could plead her case before him, and he was not ashamed to turn a deaf ear to her, to ignore her, to see if perhaps she would come up with a bribe. Even in our culture, shamelessness is negative. Women shamelessly expose themselves to gain attention. Men shamelessly paint themselves, dress in silly costumes, or shave their heads for their sports team. In regard to a legal setting, the only time I've seen shamelessness is when a person is busted for shoplifting, raises their voice, cries racism, and makes a big scene in an attempt to make the accusing store official turn away, as everybody else is doing. The unjust judge in the parable could not be shamed. The just judge of all can be. When Abraham intercedes for the debauched, depraved sodomites in Genesis 18, he says, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" When God wants to destroy Israel for the golden calf incident, Moses prays, "Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?" Here's one more example, and it's over the top. It's over the top that the true God can be shamed. Hebrews 2:11 says, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Get that? If He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, then that means He would be ashamed if He didn't. Think of those times you look in the mirror and are disgusted with what you see there, with what you are, what you have been, or what you did. At just that moment, Jesus would be ashamed if He didn't call you my brother, my sister. The next shameless person in our text is the widow. She kept coming to Him with the plea, "Grant me justice." That about captures her shameless persistence. It captures the imperfect that she came day after day after day. But it misses that she kept on saying in His face, "Grant me justice." That face-to-face preposition is there along with a present participle for the word "say," which means continued saying. It's like Bart and Lisa Simpson wearing their father down. All through the day and into the night, they say rapidly and repeatedly in His face, "Can we go to Mount Splashmore? Can we go to Mount Splashmore? Can we go to Mount Splashmore?" But the text does not say the widow's shamelessness wore the unjust judge down. He does reference her continuing to bother Him, but he says she will get justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. That word being translated "wear me out" only shows up twice in the Bible. It means to strike under the eye, to give someone a black eye. Now, translations want to treat this as a metaphor for ruin his reputation or annoy greatly. Since we are told from the start that He cares nothing for what God or others think, He can't be concerned about reputation. He may be annoyed greatly, but it's more likely He thinks that such a persistent woman who can't be shamed in the justice of her claim may eventually resort to violence. In any case, God, unlike the unjust judge, cannot be bothered. He commands, "Ask, seek, and knock." He commands, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." He commands, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden." My mom used to say, "God didn't put me on earth to hear your complaints." No, He put Jesus here to. That's what we sing in "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." We sing, "He lives to hear my soul's complaint." God sent His beloved Son into the world not only to hear your complaints, prayers, and pleas. He opened a branch office in your neighborhood. He strung a telephone line from His ear to your lips in the person of His Son. No matter how often you ask, how frequently you seek, how much you knock, you cannot annoy God, and God has no fear of being hurt by you. In fact, God suffered very much more than a black eye just so you could freely and frequently bring your soul's complaint to Him. Isaiah says that on the cross, Jesus was disfigured beyond human recognition by the torture and beating. He says, quote, "There were many who were appalled at Him. His appearance was disfigured beyond that of any man, and His form marred beyond human likeness." The unjust judge was afraid of taking a beating, so he answered the widow's prayer. The true God is afraid you won't pray, and so the beating His Son took all the way to hell and death will go to waste. Therefore, God wants you to be shameless in your prayer life, like the Syrophoenician woman, like Bartimaeus was, like Abraham and Moses were. He wants you shameless so that you will not give up. A better translation, because it touches the heart, would be "lose heart." This is the couple on the road to Emmaus Easter afternoon. Can't you hear their loss of heart when they say, "But we had hoped He was the one who was going to redeem Israel"? Can't you hear the psalmist losing heart when he cries, "My soul refused to be comforted"? Or when another asks, "Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" Don't lose heart in your prayer life. You are the elect, chosen people of God. This widow meant nothing to the unjust judge. You mean everything to the true God. That's not an overstatement, but an understatement. He moved more than heaven and earth to hear every single one of your prayers, even the ones that are sighs or no more than teardrops. He sent His Son from heaven to earth to win you the right to call upon Him and be heard by Him. Clothed with Christ by baptism, as Galatians 3 says you are, you stand before God as little Christ. Absolved in Jesus' name, your prayers are answered for His sake, not yours. Communing with the body and blood of Jesus, you are in full communication with the Father in heaven. But you've heard all that before. I know you have, because I've said it to you in 3 sermon series on prayer, in 14 or more Sunday sermons on prayer, and in Bible classes, too many to count. Yet still, our hearts give out in prayer. Still, we pray with that blasphemous thought, it can't hurt, it might do some good. And Jesus' worst fears are realized. He returns to us in word and sacrament, and He doesn't find the faith that always prays and doesn't give up. And that's my fault. I must not be preaching the gospel clearly enough. So let me try again. The insert translates, "Will He keep putting them off, His chosen ones?" But the American Standard Version has, "He is long suffering over them." And the King James translates, "Though He bears long with them." The last two, those are the proper translations of the Greek here. Every case where this Greek word is applied to God in the New Testament, it always has the meaning of setting aside divine wrath. Jesus is letting us know not that God won't keep putting off our prayer request, as the insert gives the impression. No, Jesus is letting us know that God has put off His wrath towards us. His slowness to wrath is an interval of grace, not an intention. It's to kindle the faith and prayer that moves mountains. 2 Peter 3:9 is parallel to this. Peter says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God's judgment should fall today, now, but it doesn't. For the sake of what Jesus did in life and death, God bears with us sinners. Look how long He bore with the pre-flood world, 120 years. Look how long He bore with the Amorites, over 500 years. Look how long He has borne with me, with you. What patience, what suspension of judgment is shown in giving us a daily prayer, where even though we pray daily for forgiveness, we are also told we can pray daily for His kingdom, our bread, and deliverance from evil. You can be shameless in your prayer life. Pray like a frightened child in the night calling for his parent. He doesn't reason what he should, what he could, or what he must pray. He shamelessly cries, "Mama, Mama." Be shameless as one who has been promised that God will answer, open, and be found by you. Be shameless as one who has been promised that in the day of trouble, He will deliver you. Be shameless as the one who has been promised that you will get justice quickly. The disciples in our text, they got justice quickly. The cross is only weeks away when Jesus speaks this parable. At the cross, the disciples see Jesus get their justice. All the pain, shame, blame, and guilt they brought to the foot of the cross, Jesus bore on the cross for them, for you, for all. And every reason God had for not hearing a prayer was removed when God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for sins by raising him from the dead. Since Easter, we are better off than Garth Brooks. He sings, "I'm shameless, oh honey, I don't have a prayer." Those in Christ do. In fact, they have many more than one. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.